Amen. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
It's good. Hawks are going to lose today. I know it. It's in my spirit. I know it. Hey, all I preach is truth. You guys remember that? All right. Let's pray for this message. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, challenge us, and to convict us. Father, we pray that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be at 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time or watching online, this is what we do. We just go through the Bible. We've been in 1 Samuel for a few months, and it seems to be chapter by chapter that we're doing it. It's no different this morning. So here we go. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time, and there was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away all the foreign gods of the Ashereth from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashereths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace among the Israel and the Amorites, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there, and he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So there's a lot that's going on in this chapter, and this is how it works, is that, you know, I go to God and I pray and I ask, like, "God, what are you speaking to us right now? Like, what is it that we need, and what do we need to talk about?" Any portion of scripture, we could take this chapter and preach 10 sermons over the next 10 weeks. Some of the stuff we've already covered. Like, I a theme of being a Christian that I really love is repentance. And so we could have spent time at the beginning going again over Baal and the Ashereths and be like, "You Baal worshipers," but it's not really where we were going this morning. Really what we're going to just clue in like a laser beam this morning is on fear. As I read this, I just feel like that's the theme of the scripture that jumps out that we're going to talk about. We all have things that we're afraid of. Okay, this is going to be a long morning. All right, so you guys have things that you're afraid of. I know it, man. I know that you're afraid of things. And the reason why I know that is because I'm afraid of things. And I'm... You know what I'm saying? And if I'm afraid of things, then I know that you've got to be afraid of things. And so that means that we need to talk about the things that we are afraid of. I'm afraid of skydiving. You're never going to catch me do that. For some reason, I'm afraid of spiders. Okay? Who else is afraid of spiders? It makes no sense, right? Like snakes, give me a snake, give me a rat, give me a mouse. But give me a spider, a cockroach, and all of a sudden, yeah! Like that's just what happens. Like, it doesn't make any logical sense. It defies reason. There's no reason I should be afraid of heights, but if I'm on a stepladder higher than 3 feet, I get a little bit wobbly. But the things that we are most afraid of are not spiders, snakes, rats, mice, and cockroaches. It's the internal things that you refuse to face, that God wants you to face, that you're deathly afraid of. The things you know you need to deal with, the relational problems that need to be fixed, the spiritual issues that need to be solved, things of life that need to be fixed that you're afraid of facing. Sometimes God has told you to do something, you refuse to do it because you're afraid, and that's not right. It's not what God created you to do. In this story, what we see is this curve of Israel, and what's happening is that they're trying to go into battle against the Philistines, and they're cleaning house. They admit their sin. Part of this story, though, is as they're going to war with the Philistines, is that they're afraid. They're afraid to face these Philistines because it's just scary. And so they cry out and they trust God. They go to war, and then praise God, He delivers them from the hand of the Philistines. They were afraid, but they still went to war, and God still gave them the victory. They were afraid of the Philistines. What we're talking about this morning is that some of you have some Philistines in your life that you're afraid to face, and you're unable to go because you're afraid. And so the long version of the sermon is forthcoming, but the short version is this. You have Philistines in your life. You're afraid to face them. You're going to face them afraid. You're going to do it anyway, and God's going to bring the victory. You're going to do it afraid, and God is going to give you the victory. So let's get into this. The first thing is this, is that fear is natural. There's nothing unnatural against fear. Is that oftentimes you are in fear and you look at other people and you think there's no way that those people have any fear because they don't look fearless. They look like they don't have any fear. What you may see may not be what's going on the inside, right? Sometimes people will show you something like, man, they must have no fear in their life. And you peel back the onion, you find out, man, that person's got a lot of fear in their life. The Israelites have just been whomped by the Philistines, right? They had gone through in previous chapters, and we saw tens of thousands of Israelites die. We saw God kill some Israelites because they looked into the ark when they shouldn't have looked into the ark. They tried to go into battle without God, and things did not go well for them at all. And so in this moment, when they're going against the battle against the Philistines, it's completely natural that they would feel fear. They're going into another battle, and the last one they got routed. Like, they just not go well for them at all. And so in that moment, it would be natural that they'd be like, you know what? Last time we kind of got it handed to us, and I'm not sure how this is going to happen this time. It says in verse 7, now, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Now, the flip side of it is that you're a Philistine, you're feeling pretty hot. Yeah. Like, man, we got these guys last time easily. Yeah. We took them. So the Philistines have a bunch of bravado, and then the Israelites, conversely, are probably a little bit sheepish because of the interaction that they had with them the last time. And it's natural. It's natural that they would feel fear. The Israelites, they had done the right things. They it says at the beginning of this chapter that they had repented. They had removed the sin. I mean, they again, man, like I, whenever I read these stories, I always think about myself and I think like, okay, well, I cleaned house. I took care of things. I'm like, I'm ready to go. But they were still afraid. That's what it says. They're facing the Philistines. And honestly, I hope they're a bit afraid because at this point, what should be going in their minds is, okay, last time we went against the Philistines, we didn't bring God with us. We got destroyed. And so we better get this one right this time. They better go through afraid. If they tried bravado, they tried doing it without God. But they should have some fear of like, okay, where's my heart at? See, here's what happens is that you as an individual can test your own motives, test your own heart, and think to yourself like, okay, where am I at? Right? See, I ask these rhetorical questions every once in a while. I want a little back. Like, I want to, amen. Because like, if I say stuff and I look at you guys, I'm like, I feel like I'm up here alone. And you guys are like, Pastor, this is for you. I have no fear in my life. For myself, oftentimes, I can check my own motives and say, like, I have this issue in my life that I need to get fixed. What I have a struggle with is sometimes, are the other people around me struggling with what I'm struggling with? Or are they in a place where I'm not? Because it seems like I'm the only one that's feeling this way. And so these guys are going into battle. And this is different in that it's not based on an individual. It's based on a nation that all these people need to have their hearts right at this moment. They all have to be in the right place. Some fear in your life is actually good for you. It's an indication of something that you should respect. You should respect fire. You should respect firearms. You should respect water. You should respect electricity. You should respect debt collectors. You know, a few years ago, I really learned how to respect electricity. I needed a very simple task. Change out an outlet. And to change out an outlet, it's really easy. You just spend about 2 or 3 hours on YouTube watching videos about it. Turn off the power. You test it. It's off. You take off the outlet and there's some wires there. And then you take them off and like, oh, you throw that one out. You put the other one on. You connect the wires. And then you wrap it with electrical tape. And then you go turn on the power. You test it and it's working. And then you go back. You turn off the power. You come back. And then you push it back into the wall. And then you screw it down. Put on the faceplate. And you turn the power back on. And you're watching TV. You're on your way. It's really simple. Unless you forget the part about putting on the electrical tape and turning off the power before you push it back into the wall. In that moment, what happens is you put your little fingers on the outside of the outlet as you're pushing it into the wall, and things happen. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 12:34 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what it says. And in that moment, I have to tell you, your pastor was not filled with things that were godly. Because that which came out of my mouth was not edifying to the Lord. Man, it hurt. I can't describe to you how bad it hurts to get electrocuted, man. It just flames. I don't do electrical anymore. I pay people. I hire people. I don't want anything to do with that stuff. Because I learned what happens when you don't follow the rules of electricity. The Bible says in Psalm 111:10 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. See, for us, when I say that fear is good, godly fear for you to have isn't a fear of the world. Not a fear of what the world can do to you or a fear of what's going to happen to you in a worldly sense. You can have a godly fear of the fear of God and still not operate in fear, if that makes sense. God wants you to have a sense of godly fear. Like, you should never lose that awe sense of like, God is God and I am not. You've got to have some fear in your life of God. If you don't, it will not go well. Like, when you're heading down a path of destruction, the Holy Spirit should be inside of you just railing on you, trying to get you to fear God, right? Because things that are important involve fear. Like, if you're going to get married, you should have some fear. Right? Don't look at your spouse and be like, amen. Like, don't do that to your spouse. This is not the moment for that, right? If you're going to have kids, you better have some fear. Dude. Kids, like, have some fear. If you're going to get a new job, respect it. It's huge. But here's the part of it is that you're not going to be spiritually destroyed if you pray about it and you buy the wrong car. Right? You're not like, and what was the turning point? It was like when I bought this wonderful Corolla. Like, it's just like, it's not going to happen. But if you don't have a healthy fear of God, man, it's going to destroy you. Like, maintain that. Like, that's natural and that's good. If you have a fear of facing big things in your life, that makes you human. Right? When I stand up and I say, man, you got to face this thing. And here's what's interesting when I say you got to face this thing. And I'm being ambiguous about it because when I say God wants you to face this Philistine in your life, right at that moment, the Holy Spirit goes dunk right in that one thing. And you're like, it definitely can't be that. Keep preaching, Pastor. Say something. You know what I'm saying? Holy Spirit does a really good job of telling you exactly what it is that you're not facing. That thing that God has told you to do that you refuse to do because of fear. That's the Philistine, man. Growing spiritually, growing emotionally, a relationship issue that needs to be addressed, a job change that needs to happen, career moves upwards, excuse me, a confrontation that needs to happen. And here's what happens is that you have this sense of fear and you're so afraid to go through these things. When the reality is that you still need to go through them, even though you may be fearing this thing, because what happens is you experience fear, you interpret it as like, well, this must mean God doesn't want me to do this. Yeah. That's how you interpret it. And that's not how it is at all. I think it's kind of, I don't know what I'd say. It just seems kind of, I don't like the phrase that much, but I'm not even going to use it because I've heard it said before. People say like fear means false evidence appearing real. Have you guys heard that before? It sounds like a bumper sticker. I don't want to be a bumper sticker guy, but the reality is that sometimes it is that way. Sometimes it really is fear, like this thing is going to kill you. Like, but most of the stuff we're talking about on the inside, it's not going to kill you. You're just going to feel like you're going to die. It'll be fine. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. I've shared this with you guys before. One of the idols that always rises up in my life is that I worship the opinions of men. And so that fear of man, of like fearing what somebody is going to think about me or what somebody's going to say about me, is something that really keeps me from being who I believe that God wants me to be, because I get so concerned about other people's opinions. And that fear can be a gut check. What am I doing and who am I trusting? And really, if you never feel any fear, I wonder if you're actually growing. Yeah. Because every time that I grow, I get scared. Yeah. Because I realize like, okay, I'm going to have to trust God more in this thing. I've been doing it on my own. I've got this level. And then God's like, hey, I want you to go to this next level. I want you to do this next thing. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, God. And that makes me afraid. And when people have closed the book on it and they're like, oh man, I don't have anything to work on. I've handled all my issues. And I'm like, except for apparently the lying part. Because here's what I've found in my spiritual life is that the closer I get to Jesus, the farther away I really see myself. And some people would say, like, what do you mean? Well, it's really easy. Because when I first came to God, like, I was on high. I was like, woo, I'm the man. And then, like, God was here. And then I get closer to God and I become less and less and less. He becomes more and more and more. I see Him as so much more holy and me as so much less holy. And so the longer I serve Him, the more I just realize, like, man, He needs to root even more out of my heart. Because the closer I get to Him, I see how unholy I truly am and how holy He truly is. And so in those moments when God asks you or me to do stuff, those things swirl around in your head of like, will I fail? Will I get hurt? Will I be embarrassed? Will God be with me? Am I even hearing from God? And here's what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is an honest assessment of the task at hand. Like, it is honest. When you have to face those Philistines in your life, you have to do an honest assessment of like, what am I doing? What am I up against? What is this going to happen? And that's natural and it's good. But sometimes we get so worried about the fear of man that we forget about the fear of God. We think that what's going to happen on this plane is going to affect things spiritually. And Jesus says, you know what? Don't fear about what man's going to be able to do to you. Those are not real fears whatsoever. The real fear is what's going to happen between you and your relationship with God and where you at spiritually. It's not about, man, what's going to happen if I apply for this job and I don't get it. You're going to go for another one. Like, that's how it's going to work. What if this apartment doesn't work out? You're going to find another one. What if the house doesn't sell? You're going to stay there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Man, don't overcomplicate these things. You know, what if we show up and they run out of ice cream? Well, you're going to go somewhere else, you know? Because we ain't going without ice cream, folks. That ain't going to happen. First and foremost, if you are fearing God, you are on the right track. Amen. Praise God for that. Like, you know what? I am so glad that I have a fear of God. Because I will tell you guys, I fear God as I lead this church. Oh, I fear him so much. I don't want to over emotionalize this thing, man, but I ask, God, am I doing the right thing? Like, am I honoring you? Are you proud of me? Is this the direction that you want me to take this church? Because like the spiritual responsibility of answering to God for what I preach and how I lead, man, I do not want to get that wrong at all. That's not the thing that you want to get wrong at all. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:27 that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The Bible says in Psalm 25:14 that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him and he will show them his covenant. What does it mean by that? Is that when you fear God, God's going to share with you secret things. God's going to be so close to you when you fear him, and he's going to trust you with things that he won't trust other people with because he knows that he can trust you with them. Here's the second part of it, is that fear can fuel faith. Fear can fuel faith. See, when you're afraid, you can call out to God. That's what Israel did. Israel was afraid. And in that moment of being afraid, they didn't say, well, let's just be afraid. They said, you know what? We can call out to the greatest power that's ever existed. Why don't we call out to Yahweh? Why don't we call out to Jehovah God, the protector, the one that's going to make this happen? Why don't we call out to him? In verse 8 it says, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. See, what Israel knew is that they could not do it alone. They knew that in their fear. They were fearful. They looked at the Philistines and they said, you know what? It is abundantly clear we can't do this by ourselves. Amen. So they cried out to God and they build their faith through it. See, because here's what happens. When you're afraid, you can either trust in yourself or trust in God. You can either fuel your faith to believe that God meant what he said when he said that he would go with you into battle. And if you would read your Bibles, you would see that we serve a God that promises to go with you through the darkest times of your life. Amen. He says, you know what, you can go through. He doesn't say you won't go through something, but what he does say is that you won't go through it alone. Amen. You're not going to walk through this fiery thing and he's not going to be there with you. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. See, this promise of Deuteronomy was able to sustain and encourage the people of Israel. And today it should encourage and sustain you as well. Amen. They did the right thing by crying out to God. They put their faith in him that he would be the only way they could get through this. But remember, they were afraid. Right? I mean, For us that live in modern day America, we don't get to see these great things that people saw in the Bible, right? We don't get to see seas be parted and people delivered, from the hands of the Pharaoh, and we don't get to see donkeys speak and axe heads float and all these other neat things that the people of the Old Testament got to see. Because it's funny, you go to other countries where they're not as like squishy as Americans are, where we can microwave our way to anything we want to get to. They actually learn to trust God. Yeah. They've got stories of when God provided and when God moved and when God set free. We live this existence that is trying to do everything that we can to never have to trust God, that we can just turn it on, plug it in, make an appointment, and we make it happen. And so in these moments, we don't have these faith times that we can lean back on and say, man, this is a place where I saw God move. But the Israelites did. They had these opportunities. When you feel like you cannot do it, it's a great time to reach out to God. It's the best time to reach out to God. Like when God speaks to you and tells you to do something and says, I've told you to do it. And you're like, I can't, I'm afraid. Like that's the moment you say, you know what, God? I'm afraid, but I'm going to trust you in this. I don't know how and I don't know what. I am so unbelievably afraid, God. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm doing. How am I going to do this? And God looks down and he says, you know what, son, daughter? I can do something with that.
Yeah, that's right.
What I can't do something with is somebody who doesn't want to trust in me at all.
Yeah.
When you are fearful, you have a choice. either trust you or trust him. Can you agree with me that the trust in you part has been proven false? Can you agree that you've tried that route? See, this Philistine in your life has already destroyed your family, your friends. You've seen the damage that they can do. And now you have a choice. Fear or faith? You have a choice. In Psalm 56, it says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. This is David, the psalmist, right? He'd already seen God move and he was afraid. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? When you're afraid, where does your mind go? Because I will tell you, listen, I wish that I could stand up here and tell you, like, I walk in faith and victory every single day. And I wish it was the story, man. I really do. But sometimes I walk in doubt and defeat. Like, sometimes God will tell me to do something, and the first thing I think is, this is why it's not going to work. And then I come up with every scenario of why I shouldn't do this and why we shouldn't do this and why it doesn't make sense and it costs too much money and somebody's going to get hurt and this is going to be the beginning of the end. And the worst thing that I do is then I don't even want to tell anybody about it because then I'm going to be held accountable to it, right?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So funny. God will tell me to do stuff and time again tells my wife. So frustrating. It always has to do with money too. Like God would be like, give this person this amount of money. And I'm like, no, I don't think this is you. I'm afraid because I need the money. And what am I going to do? And then like, I'll keep it deep inside my spirit. And then a couple days later, Chris be like, you know, I was praying this morning. You know what God told me? And I'll be like, nothing about money, hopefully. It's like, I really feel like the Lord was telling us to give these people this. I'm like, are you sure? This happens so many times. And then she's like, and then she looks at me across the room. She goes, he told you to, didn't he? Yes, yes, he told me to. Did he give you a number? Maybe, a number. This is what I think it is. I'm like, dang it, yes. It's exactly what it was. I mean, let's be honest here, man. When I get up in Covington in the morning, like there's not people out there with like spears, like Philistines, those aren't what are coming after you in your life, right? It's those internal battles of like, whether it's like, I've got to start this workout program or I've got to be more bold with my faith or I've got to deal with this thing of my past or I need to repent of this sin or I need to put these controls in my life. Those are those things that come up that we internalize. We're fearful. We don't want to face. We don't want to talk to God about them. Those are the Philistines. None of you went through a defending line of a warring army this morning to get to church, right? It's your failures, the reasons why it won't work, the past times that you failed, hurt, pain, regret, worry, doubt, all of those negative emotions swirling around inside of your head. Romans 8:31 says this though, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, like who can be against us? Be bolder at work. Be bolder with your faith. Be bolder with your family. Make drastic changes in your life. You know, one of the things I figured out over this, I put this app on my phone, and I'm not going to tell you what the results are because you would pray for me. There's this app that I put on my phone to show me how much I'm on my phone, and it's scary.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff, like, because it breaks it off by what you're doing on there, and it'll show you what you're doing and how much. And so, like, week by week, it is... So the week of September 30th, I was on my phone for 30 hours. What? Yeah, I was talking to you guys for 8.5 minutes or 8.5 hours. I was on messages for 2.5 hours. This week I was on the phone for 11 hours, messages for 5 hours. Facebook a few hours. YouTube a few hours. So yesterday I took all my social media off my phone. I took it off. I was like, forget you phone, delete, delete, delete. I'm still going to be on there, because I have to get on my computer. I do my sermons and stuff. And so I'm just going to try to do Facebook a little bit more in the mornings and the evenings and not have it suck me in during the day. It's a drastic change. Fiending. I even said to my wife during worship, I'm like, man, when you check your phone with no social media, it does nothing. It's just like, I keep checking it and it's just like no messages. I'm like, check, maybe I got a really important email in the middle of worship. You know what I mean? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Here's the third part of it. And it's the most important one. Why do I know that? Because it's the third point in a 3-point sermon. Okay. Preaching 101. Jesus always did the 3-point sermons. If you want to see people get saved, do that 3-point sermon. All right. This is the whole sermon. This is everything. If you haven't been listening, listen. Move forward in fear.
Amen.
Israel is afraid, but you know what? They move forward anyway. It says in verse 10-11, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Israel still went out to battle, and the Lord showed up big time, even though they were afraid. Just think about that for a moment. It doesn't say that there was a few people that were afraid. It said Israel was afraid. And in that moment, like, we all get afraid at times. And so Israel's got to go for the battle, and they could have used it as an excuse and said, you know what, I'm afraid, maybe we shouldn't do this. No, they went and did what they needed to do anyway, even though they were afraid. You just go. Like, you reviewed the battle plan, you've called out to God. Now's the time when you just trust him and you move forward. I remember when we first started this church, you know, God had laid it on my heart for years that this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And I remember right at that moment, we had set up everything, we had rented the place and everything else. And I remember, like Pastor Jay said to me, he goes, hey man, let's do it this Sunday. And I was like, yeah. And inside I was like, no, like, I was like, let's pray a little bit more. Maybe we need to fast a couple more weeks. And Jay's like, what are we waiting for? And I'm like, for me to not be afraid. That's what we're waiting for. And if I told you guys how much I get afraid about like what we're doing as a church and where we're going, you guys would be like, why are we following this guy? You know, people are like, are we going to do it? I'm like, yeah, we're going to do it. Afraid.
Yes.
Like, just because I'm afraid of something doesn't mean I'm not going to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, if God has told us to do it and we're going to do it, then we're just going to move forward. Like, just because I have some angst about it doesn't mean that God isn't in it.
Yeah.
The person in the equation that's making it happen isn't the one that's in fear. God isn't looking down going, well, you know, Matt, if you weren't afraid, I could have moved. There's a sermon in there somewhere. That's going to be for one of you guys. This is what it says in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's one of the greatest things about seeing God do big stuff is that you realize that it wasn't you that did it in the first place, and it was God doing it. And so then that way God can get the glory. The Bible says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong of good and of good courage? Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, if you would read your Bibles, in the Old Testament, which you can put your faith in the Old Testament, you see time and time again a group of scared people going out and doing big things for God. Time and time again. It happens to Israel over and over and over. They might be afraid, but it doesn't keep them home and not doing anything. Not at all. Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 1, it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And what does that mean to you? Sometimes you just have to go and do it afraid.
Yeah.
You just realize your fear, you put your faith in God, and then you move forward. You just go. It's going to be God who does it anyway. It says in verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, what will happen is that as you're going out in fear, it gives you an opportunity to accomplish great things for God anyway. But you just have to move forward in fear. And I will tell you, the biggest fear, biggest fear area of my life is always this church. Right? Over the last 15 years, as we have seen God move with every new level of where we go, it just brings a new level of faith of where I can't stop just because the reality of it is just too much for me to handle. I'm because at that moment is the point where finally God can go like, okay, good, Matt. Like now I've got you a place of faith where before it didn't take any faith. When I had my own like cushy job, it didn't take any faith to be a pastor. Like when the church started paying my salary, it took a lot of faith. When we had a warehouse, it didn't take that much faith. And then we buy a building, it takes a lot of faith. Oh, it takes a lot of faith. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to be like, well, I'm not going to trust that the church can pay my salary because I don't want to live in, you know, I don't want to have any negative emotion in my life. Just because I'm not as concerned about it 15 years in as I was in that first month. You know, I've learned through it. But my whole point in saying that is that it's like the indication of fear isn't an indication of stoppage. If it's of God, you trust God and you move forward. Here's the last scripture I'm going to share with you. In Isaiah 41:1, it says, woe to those who go down, excuse me, Isaiah 31:1. I was corrected by a very loving person, first service, because I don't know how to type. Isaiah 31:1 says, not 41:1, 41:1 was probably really good too, but 31:1 says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Like, woe to them, man. Like, let's just go afraid. Let's just go believing God. And we're not going to trust in our ability. We're not going to trust in our power or our skill or our education. We're just going to trust in God, going forward in faith and see Him do it, even though we may have some fear in our lives. Do it afraid. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? You know, for some of you this morning, God has been telling you to give your life to Him for a very long time, and you're afraid to do it. And you're saying to yourself, man, I don't have what it takes to be a Christian. And that's good, because that means that you're in a good place. God's been telling you to submit your life to Him, and you've been afraid to do it because you're afraid of what your life is going to look like. I want to encourage you to just do it afraid. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you've never said, man, I want to live for Him, and you want to do it for the first time, I want you to raise your hand right now, and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody that needs to do that for the first time? Amen. I see your hand. Is there anybody else that needs to raise their hand for the first time and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Thank you, God. Now, this is going to be really scary, but I'm going to ask you to walk up to the front right now so someone can pray with you. I know that you'd say, man, well, now I'm going to be embarrassed because everybody's going to know you're in a room full of Christians. You're in a room full of people that love God. There's no fear. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a God that still sets free. I didn't say you to look. Keep your eyes down. I'm praying. We serve a God that sets free. We serve a God that changes and heals. That's what it's all about, folks. There's nothing better than the kingdom growing in Jesus' name. And praise God that God gave you a living sermon example. Two people that gave their lives to Him today. Why won't you give that one thing? Why won't you give that one thing? Father, we come against that fear right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you that you have given us your spirit to be able to walk through that which we need to walk through. And God, today we declare that we're going to move forward in faith. Even though we might have some emotional fear about it, you've said it. We're going to trust you. We're going to believe you because it's going to be you that does it anyway, God. Father, thank you for what you do and how you do it. Thank you that you give us your grace and your mercy in our lives, God. We submit our lives to you today in full faith. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.